We are in the beginning of a new series on the parables of Luke, and this morning we are going to focus on the lamp on a stand. And the lamp on a stand is closely connected to the parable of the sower. So we're going to read Luke chapter 8 for our scripture reading and be reading the verses 1 through 21 of Luke chapter 8. Now, keep in mind that in your bulletins is an insert which includes an outline of this morning's message. And on the back of that outline is the scripture reading from Luke as it's found in the English Standard Version, the version that I will be reading from in my Bible. So if you want to follow along in the same version, you can follow along on the back of this morning's outline, Luke chapter 8, the verses 1 through 21. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to see him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." And as he had said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that, in the good soil, they are those hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. And his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 22. And you may follow along this morning on the outline. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in our first sermon on the parables, we began with the parable of the sower. And as we began that parable, as we begin parable 2 in our sermon series, it is important that you notice where the parable on the lamp on the stand has been placed in the Gospel of Luke. God inspired Luke, the gospel writer, to put the parable immediately after the parable of the sower, because in this parable, Jesus is expanding on or even interpreting a very important aspect of the parable of the sower and of parables in general. And what is that important aspect? The parable of the sower, we were reminded last time, is often called the parable to interpret all parables. In the parable of the sower, Jesus is asked and explains exactly why he speaks to crowds in parables. Parables are not simply illustrations, or parables aren't simply ways to tell a story to make your sermon come alive, but he tells them in verse 9 and 10 of our text a far different reason. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, what then does that mean? Does it mean that the kingdom of God that Jesus has come to reveal is a secret? Does it mean that God is purposely trying to keep the message of the kingdom of God away from other people? In fact, you may remember that as we worked through the parable of the sower, four responses to the gospel message are given. But really, there are only two. There is one of faith and three of unbelief. In the parable of the lamp on the stand, Jesus explains that unbelief. He explains what it means that the gospel comes and proclaims, but yet it is veiled. And in the parable of the lamp on the stand, Jesus connects the parable of the sower not just for those who reject the gospel, but he challenges his disciples and he challenges you concerning the veiling that is revealed. Now, you remember last time we said that there are two key principles to understand the purpose of parables. The first principle that we discussed, I've put there on your outline, is the purpose of a parable is to reveal something about the coming of the kingdom of God. Something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this taking place in this gospel, chapter 8. As Jesus, in verse 1 of the chapter, is going throughout the cities and the villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, we're told in verse 1, he is speaking about the coming of the Messiah, the long-promised Messiah, God's Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in Luke 1, who was born God and man in Luke 2, whom the heavens, the cosmic rejoicing about the coming of the Son of Man, and now he has come to faithfully proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That God's Son, Jesus Christ, has come to earth as God and man. That he will die on the cross and pay for the sins of his people. That he will be risen from the dead and bring the glory of everlasting life. This is the kingdom that Jesus enters into this dark and sinful world to proclaim. And we're told in verse 1, he goes through cities and villages proclaiming this good news that the kingdom of God has come. And then in verse 4 of the chapter, we're told that a great crowd has responded. A crowd, we're told in verse 4, has gathered, and people from town after town are coming to him. And then he speaks in a parable. Now, the kingdom is being revealed. Jesus is revealed that he has come from heaven and he is bringing about the salvation of God to save people from their sin and this world and to bring them to heaven. That is what is being revealed. And in the parable of the sower, that word of God, that seed, look what it says again in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word that Jesus preaches, the word of the gospel, is what is being revealed in the parable concerning the kingdom and concerning Jesus Christ. He has a crowd gathered, verse 4. And now we're told that there is a veiling in the parable that he tells. Now you notice I didn't use the word secret, though it's in our text. I didn't use the word concealed because there is a veiling that is being described. As Jesus speaks in this parable and the disciples go to him in verse 9, they're saying, well, why are you telling a parable? Why don't you just speak clearly and plainly? And Jesus explains with a passage from Isaiah in which he states concerning his listeners that there were some who, like in the days of Isaiah, will see a man preaching but not see him as a prophet of God. There will be some who will hear the words he says but not hear them as the word of God but only as the words of man. That is the passage that Jesus is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and that is what Jesus now is applying to his listeners. There are some, and many of those some, who hear him. There are many who see him, but only some see him as the Son of God, and only some hear the words that he states and preaches as the word of God. And so he speaks in a parable, we're told, as a veiling of that gospel message. And as we saw last time, there are four different responses to that gospel message that are described, but really only two. Some believe, and the other four, all four of them, are unbelief. But now the question, why? Why is the gospel veiled? Why, the disciples have asked, does Jesus speak in a parable? Why doesn't he just say things real clearly? Is there some aspect of what Jesus is doing as if somehow God is hiding the message of the gospel? Or if God only wants to give it to certain people, but not to everybody? And you notice the wording of verse 9, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Who gave it? God gave it. God's given them that knowledge. God's Spirit has worked in their heart to give them that knowledge. But then does it mean that somehow it is concealed or hidden from other people in the world? Well, in the parable of the lamp on the stand, you see how Jesus begins to answer that question. And he first of all states in verse 16 that no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it in a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. When you go to a store and you buy a new lamp or a new light bulb, you don't bring it home and then stick it under a bed or stick it under a blanket or somehow put it in the shelf. But you try to find the best place in your room or in your house where that lamp that you have purchased would give light in the midst of a dark or difficult place for you to see. The nature of the lamp, the purpose of the lamp, is to give light in darkness. Jesus now in verse 16 is applying that idea of the lamp and the lighting of the lamp to the gospel. When he speaks in a parable, when he speaks about the word of God and the kingdom of God being veiled in the parable, it's not as if God is hiding the gospel from some or if he's keeping a secret from some. But instead, as Jesus has proclaimed the gospel, it is shining bright. It is for all the world to see, all the world to know about the kingdom of Christ, about the salvation he has come to bring, about the salvation from sin and death and eternal life for all those who believe in Jesus Christ by faith, that their sins are washed away. That gospel message that Jesus proclaimed, the disciples proclaimed, and that preachers today continue to proclaim, that word of God, that seed of the sower, continues to shine brightly from God himself. It is not hidden. It is on a stand. It is to draw the people of the world who are lost in darkness to the shining light so they may see it, so they may hear it, so they may enter in. That is what is revealed of the gospel. But what about the veiling? Look at the next verse, verse 17. For nothing is hidden, he tells his disciples, that will not be made manifest, nor is there anything secret that will not be known and come to life. Now, when we think of secrets, when we think of concealing, we sometimes think of, for example, politicians. Politicians may want, if they've done something illegal or if they've done something wrong, they may try to keep it in secret. They don't want people to know what happened. They don't want people to know the truth. They don't want people to know what they were really doing, because if people knew what they were really doing, they might get in trouble. And even if they hold a congressional hearing, even though the press may ask them question after question after question, they will spend their time trying to conceal the truth. They don't want people to know the truth, and in many cases, they don't want people years from now to ever know the truth. Their purpose is to keep a secret. But Jesus, you see, tells us that that is not the case with the coming of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's true he uses the word secret as we find it in verse 10. The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But now he tells us in verse 17 that that secret, or if you want to call it a secret, what is hidden or what is veiled is the word I like better, is meant not to stay a secret or hidden or veiled forever, but it will be made manifest. Sometimes if you want to host a surprise party for somebody, let's say you go to all the work of inviting the guests and planning it out, and then you put on the invitation, this is a surprise, don't tell the person whose birthday it is, we don't want them to know. But there comes a time after that invitations and the planning has all been done where the person who the party is for will walk into the room and everything will be made manifest. Everything will be known clearly. What you were up to, what his friends had planned, is all part of the surprise so that he will know and completely understand and be appreciated for his birthday. Well, that is the understanding, you see, that Jesus is now describing for us concerning the gospel in verse 17. It's not as if the kingdom is being proclaimed, but to some it's a secret. It's hidden. It's concealed. They will never, ever know, and Jesus doesn't want them to know. No, this is something that is proclaimed brightly on a lamp for all the world to know. And there are some people it's going to be veiled. They're not going to have a clear understanding. But you should know for sure that eventually it will be completely made manifest, that anything which is hidden or veiled will come to fullness and to light. For Jesus, as he goes forth in the Gospel of Luke, the fullness of the gospel will soon be revealed, that he will go to the cross, that he will die on the cross and forgive the sins of his people and be resurrected from the grave. For those who preach the word following his death and resurrection and continue to preach the word today, the gospel light is shining in its fullness. And someday, when our Savior returns, it will be made in complete manifestation, the truth of the gospel and the salvation of God will be made known. But now, as you come back to verse 18, the last verse of this parable, once again, Jesus is bringing us back to the parable of the sower. Now remember what was established in that parable. The gospel is being taught and revealed and proclaimed, and there is nothing the matter with the gospel or the salvation message. That's not the problem. The problem is the sinful heart. The problem is not that Jesus comes to preach the gospel and God is concealing it or hiding it for some. It's only for a special privileged few. The gospel, Jesus tells us in the parable of the lamp on the stand, is shining bright. All the world can hear and see the gospel as it's proclaimed. But the problem is the sinful heart that cannot see, that cannot hear, because the heart is hard and lost in sin, because that person is born in sin, enslaved to their sin, and only by the grace and the power of God's Spirit can a person come to know the salvation of the light. You see, the problem is not from God or the gospel. The problem is the sinner. And it is the grace of God which brings that person in to see and understand the light. Everyone, on the basis of their sin, deserves the judgment and the wrath of God. And it is by God's grace that people are drawn in. Nevertheless, as you look at the end of this parable, verse 18, notice how Jesus brings it back to the two responses of the parable of the sower. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken. Remember how we said there are four responses to the parable of the sower as Jesus describes it in that parable, but they are narrowed down to two. And we said that all three of the first ones are equally bad. But the last one, the one response of faith, of hearing, is the one that is good. Jesus is telling his disciples in verse 18, how then do you know whether you are hearing and receiving? How do I know when I tell a parable and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of Christ that it has come and the salvation? How do I know who is responding in the right way with faith, the good soil? He tells them, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. You see, the one who hears that word and understands that word wants to know that word better. His passion in life is to learn about God's word. He wants to read it. He wants to hear it proclaimed. He wants to learn more about it. And that's what the disciples have done when they respond to the parable of Christ. They are responding by asking him, why do you speak in parables? Can you explain this more? We want to know more. We want to hear more. We want to know more so that we will be given more understanding about God and the salvation of Christ. But then there are those, you see, who when they think they hear, look at the second part of 18, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. What does that mean? It means that as you think of the response of the gospel, there are those other three. That one where there is an outright rejection of the message of the gospel of Christ, an outright rejection in which a person wants nothing to do with the gospel. The seed falls upon the path and the bird comes and takes it away. And we're told later that the bird that comes is the Satan himself, verse 12, who takes away that word and removes it from the heart. The kind of response in which there is no interest to the gospel. They don't want to hear it. They don't want anything to do with it. They've been exposed and they don't care. But notice as Jesus ties this to the disciples, what he has in mind is the other two responses. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. You see, the one response is that the seed falls upon the rocks and it grows up and it sparks up, but then it goes away. As Jesus interprets that, he states in verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. You see what happens. A person comes along and supposedly the word has been given. He responds to Jesus' message. Maybe he even follows him for a time. But when a challenge comes to the word, a challenge to their faith, they don't defend it. And pretty soon, they don't believe it. There's the response of the seed that falls along the soil that is filled with thorns. And the thorns choke it out. And Jesus interprets that, you see, in verse 14. And for those of what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and the pleasures of their life. And the fruit does not mature. The word springs up. They respond to the light. They don't want to hear and grow and understand more. And soon the cares of the world become more important. Soon the pleasures of life and entertainments of life becomes more important. Soon the fruit does not mature because they are focused on this world and not the gospel. Do you see how Jesus is bringing it to the disciples and how he's applying this parable to you? He tells them that the gospel is not hidden, it's shining bright, and the problem is the heart. And for the heart that wants to come and to know and to grow in its understanding of the word so that it knows more, will be given more. But the heart that is in between, in the parable of the sower, the heart that unbelieves but yet responds initially, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Soon the disciples, as they follow Jesus, they're going to be tested in their faith. Some of them confronted about their belief in Christ, and some will fall away. Some of the disciples, as they follow Christ to the cross, will become consumed with earthly things, like 30 pieces of silver, and they won't follow Him all the way. This is how Jesus is tying the parable to His readers and to you. He wants you to understand about the veiling, you see. That the veiling is true, yes, for someone who rejects the gospel. Jesus and the Word of God is only words. Jesus is only a man. And they have no interest. But for the person who thinks he has, there can be a veiling as well. A veiling of aspects of your own life that you may not understand or even completely know. Is there a veiling of your commitment to the truth, or when challenged about your belief, you're not ready and may give in? Is there a veiling in your life in which the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world may distract you and keep you from hearing that word and growing in that word more and more? But now, as we come to the last part of our text, it is in this ending that Jesus ties it all together for you and His disciples. We're told in verse 18 that as His mother and brothers came to Him, they could not reach Him because of the crowd. And He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." And how did He answer? "My mother and my brothers are who? Those who hear the word of God and do it." You see, as Jesus describes the hearing of the word, He will know His disciples not by their blood relation unto Him. He will know His disciples. He will know His people, the family of God, to be adopted into the family of God and to be a son of God and a daughter of God. It means, as Jesus says, those who hear the word and want to know it more and learn more. But it is also those who do the Word of God in their life as they live before Him. The veiling that Jesus describes and interprets concerning the parable of the sower is revealed. God doesn't purposely keep the gospel from people. It shines bright for all to see. The problem is the heart. And as Jesus describes for His disciples what it means to have a heart in the good soil, it is a heart where the word is heard, a heart where they hold on to it fast and honestly, a heart where they know it and they live by doing it for Him. May God give us hearts in the good soil. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your word and for this parable, and how this parable reminds us, O Lord, of the light of the gospel, that we as Your people have responded to that word, that even this morning as we're gathered in this place, we have heard it and we have come to listen and we believe it. And yet, Lord, the challenge before all of us is the challenge You put before Your very disciples. That, Lord, You would, by Your Spirit, give us hearts to hear and to understand. That, Lord, You would, by Your Spirit, enable us more and more to do and to live according to that word. Help us, Lord, to be aware of the things in our life which distract us, which, Lord, could give evidence that it is only sprung up, but when something else comes along, we may be tempted to go elsewhere. Grant us Your grace. Grant us Your strength to know this word and to live it only by your grace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.